Collective Minds Radio.
Stand on your square, we on the earth, we about to earn it out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about, whether it's old or a new point. Call in with your viewpoint and add to our collective of colorful perspectives. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things, dig deep and going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who be been a peeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talking.
It is what it is.
Peace, peace, family. This is Brother Kev, a.k.a. Cosmic Kev.
And this is Queen Rigel.
Hotep Abarigani. Assalamu alaikum. This is your brother, Montoy, a.k.a. Mufasa Rock.
And we are Collective Minds Radio. We back in the building, y'all, another week. Hopefully to share some constructive dialogue with the family. This is Collective Minds Radio, where we all ain't got to think alike, but we all got to think. So stay tuned for me. We have a powerful show. I think we do have a special guest joining us as well. But before we do that, you know, it, staying true to Collective Minds, Rigel Star and Mufasa Ra, how was y'all week? And do y'all have any announcements for the family?
My week was great. Very busy. Actually, this month so far has been busy, but still great, nevertheless. So I'm thankful for that. Special shout outs to all the wonderful fathers out there, all the great fathers, all the wonderful stepdads, all the mothers who play the father role, everything.
Yes,
just hope everybody had a great day, with a little extra sauce on it, because hopefully every day is great. But today is a great celebration for the real men who stand up to be dads and fathers to their family. So I appreciate you guys.
That's right. Yes, indeed. Ashe, ashe. Brother Mufasa, how your Father's Day been going? And do you got any announcements for the family?
Hey, good Father's Day as well. You know, just came back from a vainglorious meal with the fam. You know, they even stopped at a store and we popped a couple of tags. So I'm happy. I'm feeling highly favored. Still, you know,
blessed, still highly favored.
It is what it is.
I want to tell Happy Father's Day to my messenger, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and to my minister, the Most Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And I want to thank those brothers for being a father to the fatherless. And also, Happy Father's Day to my pops, who dropped me out the sack. Resting in peace, Gregory Swink. Yes, they called him Swirl. Gone, but not forgotten.
That's right.
That's right. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So I'm going to just go on and follow suit and, you know, say Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. All the fathers, you know, that's been instrumental in my life, started with my biological pops, you know, my uncles. I ain't gonna put no names out there, but y'all know y'all. All my uncles on both sides, my mama's side, my daddy's side, my grandpa, you know, who made the transition a little while ago. And just all the fathers, you know, that came in contact with me, try to bless me with some wisdom. And, you know, keep your boy on the right track. So thank you to all the fathers and to the ones still doing it today, Brother Mufasa, Any other callers that are fathers out there listening, thank you guys, you know, for doing your thing, doing your duties, and raising your kids. So salute to all the fathers. On this day, you know, fathers should be saluted every day, but, you know, they take out the one day of the year to salute them. So just happy Father's Day to the fathers. So we go get into it, y'all. This is Collective Minds Radio. This is Brother Kev or Cosmic Kev with Rise of Star and Brother Mufasa Ra. And today we are talking about, does the Nation of Islam have the best plan for black people? Does the Nation of Islam have the best plan program for black people today, especially on the eve of 2020? You know, as we head into, we in like a busy cycle as far as things going on around the world and here at home in America. So, you know, we just trying to be a platform where we can try to provide some clarity and try to, you know, offer some solutions as well, you know, to the issues that we face. So that's the question we are posing today. Give us a call because Collective Minds is not a spectator sport. And the number is 929-477-1697. So we do want to pose the question, you know, does the Nation of Islam have the best program for black people? But I do want to ask our brother Mufasa, I know he's, you know, recently joined the nation, if he could break down, you know, the actual program that the nation has laid out for black people. That way we can be clear and then we can go into, you know, answering the question and bring in our guests as well here in a little bit. So, Brother Mufasa, are you in a position where you could kind of give us a, you know, a quick overview of the Nation of Islam plan or program for black people as you understand it?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, from my understanding, you know, as a member of the Nation of Islam, our number one mission is to resurrect our people. That is our business. Our business is the resurrection of our people, you know, the lost and found, the spiritually and mentally dead black people in America. And some people may say, well, you know, why you need to resurrect them? You know, for the, and I'll say for the same reason that people scream out how we've been mistreated here in this country, why black people don't have nothing, why we under the so-called white supremacist system, why we done this way, why we done that way. So if you go back through our history and you know that a lot of us didn't come here, you know, by choice. There was a thing called the Transatlantic Slave and movement, and that's how we got here. And a lot of us came here by force. So with us coming here by force and getting programmed a certain way, you know, lost our knowledge of self. We lost who we were. We lost our belief system. We lost our names. We lost our family culture. We lost everything. We came here and we were molded and bred to be basically workers, worker bees. So when something like that is done to a people, you know, and they don't know who they are, that's when you, that puts you in a dead-like state that makes you unaware of your true self. So our goal is to reprogram the thinking of black men and women in this country, to show, to give you a knowledge of self, to give you a culture, give you a sense of, you know, of empowerment, and let you know that, you know, you are better than what this government has trained you to be. You know, we got a history that go back before slavery, prior to slavery. We're a great people. You know, some hate for me to say this, but, you know, we are a chosen people of God. And so if you have a belief in God, and you also have a belief in the devil, and you know that a lot of us are doing things that of a devilish mindset. So in a nutshell, what we want to do, so I ain't just going on and on, our mission is to resurrect the mentally and spiritually dead and put our people back in, you know, in a state of righteousness.
All right, yes, indeed. Okay. Rigel, did you want to go ahead and tackle the question? Do you think, does the Nation of Islam, in your opinion, have the best program for black people here in America?
Well, I would say it has a good program. I can't necessarily speak about whether or not it's the best or not, but I definitely think it's a good program, you know, because it's a positive mission, you know, and it's to help. So I would definitely, you know, vouch for it being, or seemingly being a good program for what I know. I don't, unfortunately, know a whole lot. I'm learning about it, especially since, like you just acknowledged, Mufasa just recently joined, so I'm learning a lot from him. But definitely seems to be a good program.
Okay, yes, indeed, yes, indeed. Okay, if you're just joining us, family, this is Collective Minds Radio, and today we are discussing, does the Nation of Islam have the best program for black people here in America on the eve of 2020? You know, as we head into this presidential election cycle that we, you know, about to be upon us next year. So we just trying to see, you know, moving forward, is the Nation of Islam, or does that program still work for black people today? I mean, you know, just starting off me answering the question, I would have to say, first and foremost, you know, I have the utmost respect for the Nation of Islam, you know, the Minister Louis Farrakhan, all the brothers that have, you know, went through the program and changed their lives and, you know, become upright men and, you know, upstanding men in their community, without a doubt, you know. So first, I just want to put that out on the table, you know, as far as the amount of respect that I have for that organization and what they've done. As far as, like Brother Mufasa said, they have raised up a lot of people, you know, that would have been considered walking dead or zombies, you know, just out here acting reckless, and they've shown them the light, you know, so salute to that. But I would say, you know, as far as black people as a whole, I think it is one of the plans, you know, from that black people can grab from as far as trying to figure out, you know, a particular code and how to navigate through the system. I think especially with the teachings of Elijah Muhammad and that foundation, you know, really being the foundation of conscious black America, you know, even to this day, that's still, you know, part of that foundation, the books he wrote, the lectures he's had, and, you know, the things that he's written about are the foundation of, you could say, black consciousness today. But with that being said, like I said, I think it is one aspect of a program for black Americans, but I think it all fits in with black consciousness, if you will. You know what I'm saying? And you can throw the Hebrews in there. You can throw the Moors in there. You know, you can throw Nuwapians, you can throw even atheists, because I feel like as black people, we shouldn't all be forced to be Muslim in order to, you know, get some type of justice here in America. You know, I feel like we can all be under one umbrella as long as, you know, we all stay on code. You know, that way we can deal with our Muslim brothers, we can deal with our Hebrew brothers, even some of the Christian brothers, you know what I'm saying? So I just feel like it is a plan, or a program that does work as far as raising up the black man and woman, but I do like to keep everything in the context of, you know, white supremacy. So I would say after we're done, or I would just form this question, you know, after we done resurrecting the black man and woman and getting them on that square, then what comes after that? What's next? How do we deal with the system of racism, white supremacy? And, you know, I just put that question out there. You know, I don't know if Brother Mufasa want to go in, and we can just leave that on the table, but that would be my next question after, you know, the resurrection has done. You know, how do we attack this system of racism, white supremacy that we under? So I'll leave that right there for now. Did you want to respond, Mufasa?
I'll respond by first saying, when you say our Muslim brothers, the word Muslim, you know, what do you describe? I mean, what's your definition of a Muslim? What is a Muslim?
I would say, you know, just I was including Muslim. I was including Sunni, Orthodox, Shiite, Nation of Islam. A Muslim to me is anybody who studies the Quran and goes by the Islamic faith, you know, in a broad term. Someone who goes by the Islamic faith, studies the Quran, and, you know, submits to the will of Allah. You know, whether
right.
Shiite,
well,
Muslim, Orthodox, or whatever, you know.
Yes, sir. Well, we are taught that, you know, a Muslim is just simply one who submits himself to the will of God. So if you have an understanding and a belief, you know, that they're of God, when we say Allah, we call him by his name of Allah. But if you have a belief in God, then and you want to submit yourself to do the will of God, you are a Muslim. So I just said that to say a lot of us out here that may be calling ourselves something else, but in our opinion, you are a Muslim. So we already united. And I also want to read something out of one of Elijah's books where he says, Allah God has come to unite us. We, the black people in America, must unite. But unity only comes on the acceptance of Islam. Without black unity, we have no power, regardless of how great in numbers we may be. Now, when you look at something like that, and I've always believed that too, even before joining the Nation of Islam, that we have to have certain numbers. It's like when you said a code. We've had the discussion about getting black people on one code. Because if we can't get under a code and unite as one, then we won't have the numbers and we won't be strong enough to go against this enemy. So we have to come together and unite. See what I'm saying? Hang on one second, brother.
Right.
Hold on.
Go ahead, brother. I got you. No. Yes, indeed. I'm with you as far as the code, but that's the other thing we have to define, because I believe uniting on a particular code is the way to go. You know, so I don't know what Mufasa means when he says we have to unite, because some people may think that means, you know, all black people have to agree. Because what if you have, you know, there are black people who are atheists. You know, there may just be some black people who don't believe in God, and they don't submit to the will of God. You know what I'm saying? I don't think they should be excluded or they should be denied any type of justice. Not saying that, you know, the nation does, but just saying if you're a black person and you just don't believe in God, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. You know what I'm saying? And I still think that, you know, you should be able to, or you can be able to be on code as well and contribute to, you know, black liberation, if you will, for lack of better terms, or black ascension, you know, as we rise up, and you can still contribute to that, you know, even if you don't believe in God or believe in submitting to the will of God.
Right, and then I want him to also clear something else up too, because when I look up Muslim, it says people who follow or practice Islam.
People who practice Islam, right.
Right, a follower of the religion of Islam. That's what, when I look it up, that's what it says a Muslim is. So Mufasa, that's all. I want him to kind of clear that up, because that sounds different than what his explanation was. I don't know. I want to be sure that it's just something that they teach at their mosque, or is it just for the NOI? I just want him to kind of clear that up too, because I think that makes a difference. Because just to look up the word Muslim, that's what it says. The definition is the follower of the religion of Islam.
Right, practice Islam. Yeah, and that's kind of what I include in my definition. You know, a person who practices Islam, you know, submits to the will of Allah.
All right, my brothers, I'm back, y'all. My apologies, man.
Oh, it's all good, my brother. It's all
good. I did hear Sister Raju, and I caught a little bit of it. You said about Islam. Repeat that question.
Yeah, and I was saying, I just kind of want you to clear it up, because I'm based off of your definition of what a Muslim is, and versus the definition when I look up the meaning of it. When I look it up, the meaning says, it tells me that it's a follower of the religion of Islam, or practice Islam, a person who will follow or practice Islam.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That is true. Islam simply is one who, I mean, briefly, Islam means the entire submission to the will of God. That's what Islam is. Your submission to the will of God. So as a Muslim, we are one who, we follow that, you know. We submit our will to the will of Allah.
Okay, gotcha. Now,
it's not a religion.
We don't call it a religion. We consider it a way of life. In the Nation of Islam, that's what we consider a way of life. We don't call it a religion.
And when you say we, are you speaking for the whole group, the
Nation
whole
of Islam?
Right.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yes, so there's another meaning where it means Islam is a religion. So do you know who go by that definition then, where Islam is just is their religion? Do you know the difference between
To my understanding, you have some people, and that's why even the minister spoke about this, about, you know, because everybody over here look at people from the Middle East as, you know, those are the ones who practice true Islam. But even the minister said that, you know, they're not practicing Islam the way it's supposed to be. They're looking at it as a religion. So if you're looking at it as far as someone who submits them, they will, then you're supposed to be working in accordance to what God has told you to do, your duty. And if you read the Quran, you follow the Quran is full of laws and standards and duties that you're supposed to obey by. So if you're not obeying, you know, the word of God, if you're not doing it, then how can you truly be submitting yourself to the will of God? If you're just going off of what you want to do. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, indeed. Collective Minds Radio family, we are in the building. If you're just joining us, we are discussing, does the Nation of Islam have the best program/plan for black people? Give us a call, family. Like I say, this is not a spectator sport. The number is 929-477-1697. And at this time, we want to go ahead and, I believe, bring in our special guest. Okay. We want to bring in our special guest. We do have a special guest joining us. I believe the brother's name is Malcolm Flex. Are you with us, brother?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes,
there we
indeed.
Go.
We can hear you. We can hear you. Yes, indeed. Thank you. First off, just want to thank you for joining Collective Minds for this discussion today. We appreciate you sharing some of your time with us. And just for any listeners that, you know, may have not heard of you or what you do, can you just give us a brief introduction of, you know, your name and what you do and, you know, something that you may want people to know about you moving forward?
All praises due to Allah. First, I would like to open in the name of Allah, who appeared to us in the person of Master Fard Muhammad, raised up one from among us, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, and also his divine student, the honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. My name is Brother Malcolm Flex TV. I'm a young brother student of the minister out here in Los Angeles. And I have my own show on YouTube. This is how me and Brother Collective Minds was able to come together, you know, and build. I'm also, you know, a father, you know, so happy Father's Day to all the brothers online, you know. And, yeah, you know, your brother just out here doing for self, you know, going out there, working on behalf of our people, trying to raise up and inspire our people and trying to build a better life for not only myself but for my people. So that's me.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Appreciate you, brother. Happy Father's Day to you, too, as well. That's a beautiful thing that you got going on there. So happy Father's Day, brother. I want to start also by asking you the same question that we asked Mufasa Ra. For your understanding as a young man in the nation, what is the program that the nation has for black people, in your words, or from your understanding?
Okay. That is a wonderful question. You know, what is the program of the nation of Islam? You know, and it's very, very simple. You know, our program is basically to do for self. You know, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad poses a question to us and asks us, why do we beg for other people to do for us when we can simply do for ourselves? You know, basically nation building. You know, he asks for brothers and sisters all over the country who have skills, you know, in various skills and in various, how can I say it? Trades, and come together, and we bring all our skills and pull all of our research sources together. Basically, you know, like I said, nation building. You know what I mean? If my brother has a t-shirt business, you know, and I have basically a shoe business or something, you know, we can come together, find ways to do business with one another. You know, and this is what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teach. You know, basically he teaches his students about the resurrection of the lost found members of the Nation of Islam here in the hills of wilderness of North America. You know, because the reason why we continue to sit at the rich man's table because we're scared to come out from under him and just simply do for ourselves. And we don't say that not to say, you know, that it's not okay to do business with other people, you know. But the Honorable Elijah
right.
Muhammad teaches us to, yeah, when we on the world stage, it's okay to rub shoulders with other races of people. Because the Honorable
right.
Elijah Muhammad had a $1 million import with Peru, and he was importing hundreds of thousands of pounds of fish to America, and it was because of the Muslims back in the 50s and the 60s that was bringing whiting fish to America. Wasn't nobody really selling whiting back in those days, you know? So it's okay when we on the world stage and doing business with other people, but he wants black people here in the hells and wilderness of North America to practice group economics, and he asked
That's right.
for four or five to six black men and women to come together and create our own business. So that is Mr. Muhammad's program, and that's what we are promoting in America.
All right. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Did y'all have a question or a response before we go to call lines?
You want to go right there? I can go.
No, you go ahead.
Well, first off, Brother Malcolm, this is Brother Montoya hollering at you. How
yes,
you doing,
sir,
brother?
I'm doing fine, beloved.
Hey, and thank you, brother, for them shirts. I've been sporting it today on Father's Day. You know, I won some shirts on my brother's YouTube channel with the messenger on them. It says, ask me any questions that you will ask God. Oh, I've been sporting it all day, brother, so I appreciate you.
No, thank you, brother.
And I want to formally introduce you to Brother Kevin. That's who we were just speaking to. And
yes, indeed.
Not Sister Roger no more, Queen Roger, our other host. That's
Queen,
who
that's right.
The other two people on the line with us, brother.
Yes,
that's
sir.
Right.
Peace,
that's right.
Brother Keys, dear sister.
Yes, peace. Thank you.
So, yeah, all Brother
right,
Malcolm
right.
is a good brother. And, before you had got on, I gave them my breakdown of our mission of being to resurrect the mentally and spiritually dead. So I went a
right.
little bit more on to that end. And so, but I am glad you broke down that program of doing for self, too, because that's,
right.
that is the next thing in line of what we're supposed to be doing. That's why we're trying to wake up the mentally and spiritually dead to show them who they are and what they're supposed to be doing and to get
right.
in, get on board with us. So we can do for self and quit depending on other groups and other races of people. You know, you hear a lot of our people that complain and fuss about that, but they don't know how. They don't know how what
right.
to do. So if you want to know how and you want to learn how to do for self, we got a good program here that can teach you that and promote that to you. You know, come in and join the ranks. We would love to have more of our brothers and sisters get involved and get hands-on to Nation Bill, because we do need the numbers.
Right.
All right.
Absolutely.
Oh. Yes, indeed. Roger, did you have a question or you want to go to call line?
No, I don't have any questions at this time.
Okay, let's
right.
see if we got some callers out there. And call land that they want to call up and ask a question.
Okay.
And
you ready?
Yeah, we
yes,
ready.
We are.
Okay. Area code 314-616. Calling you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
Peace, and blessings, everyone. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers on the call line. I think
peace,
it's going to be a very
peace.
Exciting topic. I'm not a follower per se of the minister. I have looked over the teachings of the Nation of Islam. I do think that it's a beautiful program. My perspective is from a Pan-African position. I think that the militants and the discipline that they use could definitely be something that can be uplifting to our people. I think that my only issue, well, I've got a couple issues, but I think even from the military aspect, I think that at this time it's time for us to bear arms. I mean, we can't be out here marching and looking militant and putting in. Instilling fear only in our people. If our enemy has weapons, we too need to have weapons. So I think that from what the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught, I think it's time to upgrade some of the information. And I think that, you know, I respect what you were saying about how we can use group economics, but we must come collectively to something that's going to bring us out of capitalism. because when I see the brothers in the nation, they come with a lot of information, but it seems like it's just helping us survive under the auspices of white supremacy. So whatever's going to bring us out of that, we need to come together as a group to figure out that. And, you know, with the religion aspect, unfortunately, you'll never collectively bring together people under religion, because some people will say, you know, even within Islam, you have different factions and different sects. But from the military aspect, I really appreciate the discipline and the militancy that they do, because seeing that a lot of our black women are under attack, and, you know, the abuse that they are going from the childhood to the time that they turn young adults, I think if we have the training aspect that could teach our women to defend ourselves as well as our kids, you know, even with the fruit of Islam, I think that this should not be a group of people that are used to protect these rappers and these entertainers, but we actually need boots on the ground in our communities to stop in the fascist side of war. So that would be my position on that. But other than that, I think that collectively there are some things that the nation can definitely bring to the table, because, you know, like I said, I look at things from a Pan-African perspective, because it allows all groups of people to come together to have one common enemy. You know, it's not about me trying to teach you about this, that, the third. It's about us understanding that, hey, you know what, whether I'm a Hebrew, atheist, Muslim, whatever, we all have the same common enemy. So from that perspective, I really think that the nation can bring some militants and discipline aspects, training up these children on how to defend themselves and, you know, how to handle the police. Cause that's an issue.
Right, Carla, did you have a question for our guest, Malcolm Fleck? Did you have a question for him, or can you kind of summarize what you were saying in the form of a question? That way, the brother can respond.
Okay, I guess to put it in the form of a question is, what would be the best solution to resolve the issues that we're facing as far as from a military aspect? If we're going to call ourselves a nation and have a military, and we know that the military is at war, it bothers me that, you know, according to the line, other Muslims have had to fight against the infidels and other people. So from a military aspect, what can we do to defend ourselves against the police as well as protect our communities? Because, you know, there was a time when the nation first started, as well as like when the Panthers were entering, where we didn't call the police. We called the Panthers, we called the nation, because if I'm striking this woman, I feared getting attacked by the nation more than I feared getting called the police on. So what can we do to kind of bring ourselves back into that fold?
Peace, family. Are we there? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Loud and clear. Yes, sir. Loud and clear.
All praises due to Allah. Thank you, brother, for his question. And I hope Allah will allow me to able to respond properly, because it was a beautiful question. Brother spoke beautifully. And we have love for all of our Pan-African brothers and sisters. And we love and respect and honor the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey. He was a forerunner of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, him, and Noble Drew Ali. So we have nothing but love and respect for those two brothers. As far as the Nation of Islam and militancy, you know, in the black community, and me being a former second lieutenant in the Western Regional Headquarters in Los Angeles, I still am a lieutenant, but I had to step down because I moved. But I am an officer in the Western Regional Headquarters, so I have an understanding of what this a part of the military aspect of the Nation of Islam goes. Okay, so we, in the Nation of Islam, we are taught to basically here in the hells and wilderness of North America, is because we know that we are at war right now. You know what I'm saying? We are what they call it, prisoners of war. So
Facts.
We have to set up a beachhead behind enemy lines. So this is what you see when the brothers are in the community with the papers, the brothers in the community selling the pies. You see the brothers in ranks. You know, isn't it? We don't do that to scare black people. We do that to attract black people. And from my vantage point, when we do that, more people fall into the ranks because they are more attracted to see brothers cleaned up, clean shaven, nice suits on, smelling good, being civilized, talking respectful, because the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us to put the clean glass next to the dirty glass, and the people will choose the clean glass every time. You know, so we don't do what we do to scare black people. We do what we do to appeal to our people, you know, and it works, you know, as far as the militancy go. So now brother said that he believes that we should take up arms. The Nation of Islam doesn't teach that, although we don't necessarily teach against it. You know, but the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan warns black people to be careful for taking up arms, especially in this country, because the American military has greater arms. Okay, sometimes we think we're doing something with our little pop guns, you know, with our little shotguns and little AK-47s, but America, although we know that we are getting these arms from them, they do not give us their best artillery, their best arms. You know, even with certain countries that they do business with and they give arms, they don't give them their best arms. So black people isn't ready for an all-out war. You know, I heard the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan tell Gaddafi, because Colonel Muammar Gaddafi was trying to arm black people. Okay, and the minister said we don't need to start a revolution, you know, with those type of arms, because those carnal weapons, the enemy has more. He said, the Minister Farrakhan said that he has the ability to overthrow the government of your mind. See, and that's what we need.
Right.
You know, we need to be armed spiritually and mentally. Okay, before we go to the physical, okay, because the scripture says, be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of the mind, okay? So when we got your mind, okay, you start thinking differently. See, that's where the real revolution starts, you know, when we change the way of your thinking, okay? And he said that once we come together, and we begin to become a nation, and we get some land, okay? We have our own irrigation system. We have our own water system. We have our own food supply. Then he said that is the right time to take up arms because we have something to protect. But we shouldn't take up arms if we don't have no land. We have nothing to protect. So that's what we teach in the Nation of Islam. We don't necessarily teach to not. But we are careful of that because when you look through the 60s, through the 50s, 60s, and 70s, that gave the enemy an excuse to destroy all those civil rights movements. Gave the enemy an excuse to destroy the Black Panther Party. When you go back and look at the documentary on the Black Panther Party on Netflix, okay, you will see that there were two things that I would say that were mistakes by the Black Panther Party. Three things, okay? The first thing, they took up arms. Second thing, they started allowing white people into their meetings. And the third thing, they had too many heads, too many talking heads, too many leaders. And the leaders were going at it with one another, and they were being infiltrated by the FBI, okay? So all of these organizations that were destroyed by the FBI, the Nation was the only one that fell and rose again. And we never carried any weapons. And they said that we were even more radical than the Black Panther Party because we didn't even allow white folks in our meetings. You know, so
right.
I appreciate the caller, and I thank him for his question. And all praises is due to Allah.
Yes, indeed. And I do want to go to the other call lines, but I do want to get a call another chance. Did you have another question, call, or are you good?
Okay, yeah, I'll be real brief. Even with the response of not bearing arms, my only issue, and I'm not going to disrespect the minister because he is an elder, is with all the relationships that he has gained internationally with other world leaders, it has not been used to leverage a situation to protect us. And you mentioned about the situation with Gaddafi. You know, there's so many speculations, so I don't even want to go into what I believe or what is not true. But at some point, if you have relationships with international leaders, we have to use those relationships to help protect us. Because while we may not have the military here in the hills of North America, our brothers over in, you know, Sudan or wherever that he has relationships with should have ways to protect us, kind of like, you know, other wars that have been fought. Or you look at the fact that we're the only people in here in America that are mistreated because of the relationships that these other nationalities they have with their country here with our the government here in America. For instance, you wouldn't see a police officer shooting a Chinese person in the head that, you know, for no reason, because they understand that they have relationships with China, and if China gets word that their people are being killed here in America, we're going to be on attack. So that's the only issue, you know, as far as the leadership under the minister, is we have to begin to leverage those relationships with international leaders to our advantage.
Yes, all right. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Thank you, caller. Yes, go ahead and respond. Right on, caller. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Right. Yes, sir. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has built relationships with world leaders all around the world. And the enemy is not only hates it, but he's afraid of that. They did everything they can destroy. They did everything they can do to destroy his relationship with Muammar Gaddafi. Muammar Gaddafi was donating the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan $1 billion, okay? And well, he was going to take the money, and he was going to fund all black organizations. So all of these black organizations, such as the NAACP and so forth and so forth, he was going to fund them and get them out of get them out of the Jews' pockets, okay? So instead of them allowing him to receive that gift, they banned it. They shut it down and said he couldn't receive that type of funding from, they use the term, a terrorist, okay? But when we say that we need other world people to defend this, really, in truth, we can really, with 40 to 50 million black people, we are capable of defending ourselves. We are not united at this point to be able to defend ourselves. And when we have brothers and sisters in the street shot down by police, like Walter Scott, brother choked out, like the brother in New York,
Eric Garner,
you know, Mike Brown, Trayvon Martin, you know, Freddie Gray. When we have these type of situations, the boy Dylan Roof went shot all the brothers and sisters in the church. You know, when we have these type of situations, and when the situation happened, we blow up and we tear everything up, and then a month down the line, we forget like it ain't nothing happened. But the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said that there needs to be a redress, a serious penalty for killing us every time we are killed, because in the Holy and the Holy Quran, it teaches us that we can't allow people to. There has to be justice on behalf of the slain. So if we will forget
right.
that our brothers and sisters were murdered, and then we go back to partying and dancing, ain't nobody gonna take us seriously until we take ourselves seriously.
That's right. That's right.
Yes,
and
indeed.
I mean,
collect
the
mind.
I was just gonna add something real quick to that, because I appreciate what the caller, you know, what he hit with, you know, because I've thought over that myself about the arms. But then I think about it like, okay, we still trying to get black people to stop eating pork. So to sit up here and just give black people a bunch of arms and we can't even get your mind to train you how to eat right, you know, these people that we just giving arms to, they're not going to know what to do. They're not going to fully know what to do with it. So we need to train our mindset. You know, this stuff got to be done in steps and levels. Our mind has to be trained and get programmed to move a certain way. You know, that's just like giving a baby. You give a baby an AK-47. Shoot, they shooting everything. You know, so we got to train our mind and at least learn how to eat correctly. You know what I'm saying? Before we can start arms, trying to throw all these arms and thinking that's enough. Just like Brother Malcolm said, to go up against these sophisticated weapons that this government has. I mean, them little peaches we got can't handle that.
All right, yes, indeed.
We already have arms. We just turn them against each other. We don't turn them against the real enemy. We turn them on each other.
Right, right.
We got arms.
Yeah,
we don't know what to
collective,
do.
Collective Minds Radio, y'all. We have a special guest with us, Brother Malcolm Flex from Malcolm Flex TV on YouTube and social media. We are discussing, does the Nation of Islam have the best plan for black people? Roger, you want to go to the call line?
Okay. Take area code 319-572. Calling you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or comment?
Nah, not really. I don't know, it's all just kind of confusing to me. But
okay, well, let's clear it up. What are you confused about, caller? What are you confused about? Well, let's clear it up. Get some clarity.
Well, everybody talking about this Nation of Islam, and really, we're not descendants of any kind of Islam. We are descendants of Jews. The Hebrews, and everybody's telling us we're supposed to be praying to this one, we're supposed to be praying to that one, but from all my research, it goes back to the religious, to the Hebrew, and we were brought over here, everything was taken, erased from us, they threw the white Jesus at us, and to this day, the older black folks, they will defend white Jesus to the death.
Right.
I mean, me and my brother, we did an experiment. We tried to take the white Jesus out of our church, down from our church, and they thought we was just going to add the black Jesus, but we tried to replace them, and they just went haywire. So, but everything that I've come up with is we are descendants of the Hebrews. And
okay.
The Africans were not taking their own people. They were taking us.
Mm-hmm. So basically your question is about the Hebrew, about the Hebrew background. Brother Malcolm, can you tackle this?
Man, this is one of my favorite subjects.
Yes, sir.
All praises due to Allah. Thank you for the caller.
Yeah, thank you, caller. Appreciate it.
The Honorable Elijah Muhammad asks us a question in the Supreme Wisdom Lesson. Excuse me, Master Farah Muhammad asks us a question. Who is the original man? The answer is the original man is the Asiatic black man, the maker, the owner, the cream of the planet Earth, God of the universe. Okay? So we can't just limit ourselves to just being a Hebrew. We can't limit ourselves to just being a Moor. We can't limit ourselves to just being a Pan-African, just being a Muslim, just being a this, just being a Christian, just being a that. Okay, we are the original people and inhabitants of the planet Earth, so that means that we come from all of these backgrounds. We come from every single one of these backgrounds. Okay, And these different backgrounds came in different epochs of our development. So none of these backgrounds be for one another. A more than half problem with a Hebrew. A Muslim didn't have a problem with a Pan-African. Then none of that exists. We brought that into consciousness ourselves because the Holy Quran teaches us that we did not become divided until we got knowledge. So when the Honorable Elijah, after the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had been teaching, then other branches of thought came into the light, and then that's when we start having all of these differences. But when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was doing his thing, he was mainly respected among all the black community, even among Christian preachers, and some would even be so scared to even get close to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad because they knew what was spinning around in his head was very powerful. Couldn't nobody defeat what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad brought? And that takes me back to the Bible, because brother mentioned the Jews or the Hebrews. Okay, well, when we get down to it, the word Jew was really an insult to those people. It was like using the word nigger. Excuse my language. They didn't call themselves Jews. Okay, and when we go back to the scripture, these people who called themselves Jews were very wise people. These were very wise. These were God's people, okay? And what they did was is that they broke all of the laws and commandments of God. They broke all of his laws and commandments, okay? So what he did was he said, you know what? Since you broke my laws and my commandments, I am going to curse you with a curse, and I'm going to scatter you, just as God promised to Abraham. He said, know of a surety, Abraham, that I will send your seed in a strange land amongst a strange people for over 400 years, and they will serve another people. So, yeah, that is us. But the question is, how do we get there? Because we wasn't keeping the laws and commandments of God in the first place. So in the Holy Quran, because Prophet Muhammad was a direct descendant of Abraham, and he was, and his way of life was to be patterned after Abraham's way of life, submitting to only one God, not submitting to multiple gods, but teaching polytheism to his people. So in the Holy Quran, it refers to us as getting back to that way of life. You know what I mean? Because the children of Israel have broke the laws and commandments, he said, I will give you Islam as your religion. Why? Because it was going to get us closer to the source, the Almighty Creator. That's why we needed Islam. So there were many brothers and sisters who were in Africa that converted to the religion not by the sword. They were converted by the wooden board. What do I mean by that? There were Islamic missionaries who could remember and recite the Holy Quran to memory. And these were black people. And what they did was they went into Africa and they began teaching the chiefs and the kings and the brothers and sisters in Africa Islam, because when those Arab, those white Arabs tried to invade Africa, those black African Christians kept them out of Africa. So the brothers and who were Muslims, they came and they taught the Africans Islam on a wooden board. And these brothers and sisters were able to remember and recite the Holy Quran to memory. That's how one of the greatest and most richest kings of Africa, Mansa Musa, became a Muslim. It wasn't through a forced conversion. It was willingly. They all accepted the religion of Islam, and there were thousands who came to America through the transatlantic slave trade on slave ships were Muslims. And what they did was they separated the Muslims from the rest of the brothers and sisters, because because Islam has the ability to bring out the militancy in black people. So they separated those Muslim slaves and they killed them because they didn't want them teaching Islam to the rest of the slaves.
Collective Minds Radio, y'all. That was our special guest, Malcolm Flex from Malcolm Flex TV on YouTube. Just laying down some powerful information. Yeah, putting it down. Give us a call, family, if you want to join the conversation. The number is 929-477-1697. And I want to get to the call lines here in a second, but I did have one question for our brother Malcolm Flex. Because my thing, like personally, my thing is, especially with a lot of groups, when it comes to black people here in America, I see two major problems with black people forming groups in America. One you already mentioned, which is, you know, black groups can be infiltrated. You know, they put leaders against each other, the government, CIA. We know about the COINTELPRO. You know what I'm saying? You mentioned the Black Panther Party, the Black Liberation Army, any group from the past that we can learn from. We saw how those groups were dismantled and infiltrated and picked apart by the government. So that's number one. But it seems like the Nation of Islam actually has that particular problem intact from what I see. Now, number two, the other issue is... Yeah, as far as being infiltrated, even though there may be, of course, there may be some agents within the ranks, but we know that there's a system to where they haven't got, you know, too close to the man or whatever. So it seems like, from what I see, the nation has that particular part under control. But my second issue is when there's leadership or one leader or even a group of leaders, that particular group or organization is very vulnerable. And what I mean is, if something was to happen, you know, to that particular leader, then it seems as if the organization may be in disarray after that. You know what I'm saying? You have people scrambling for power positions and jockeying for a position and things of that nature.
Right.
So my question is, and this question has been on my spirit because, you know, we have so much love for the minister, but I want to just put this question out and be real and ask it as clear as I can. Do you guys, or do you feel the nation is in a position to continue going strong if, heaven forbid, something happens to the minister? Is that an organization that is in position to continue without the leadership of the Minister Farrakhan?
All right.
Yes, sir.
Put your seatbelt on. Put your seatbelt on.
Yes, sir. No doubt. One thing that people have to understand about the Nation of Islam is that we are a spiritual movement. We are not a political movement. Our movement is led first by Almighty God, who came to us in the person of Master Farah Muhammad. So that seat that the minister is sitting in is his seat. Okay. Allah allowed the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the minister to sit in. So not only we have somebody that's at the head of our organization, but he's a spiritual head of our organization. So the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has put in place a council of brothers and sisters in the Nation of Islam to take over and to run the nation if he ever makes his departure. Okay, he has put plans in place for this happening because we all learned during the time of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, like you said, brother, that we have brothers and sisters who will be jockeying for position, and that's what happened with the minister with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's son Wallace. Brother
right.
was very rotten.
Right.
Okay, the brother had
right.
turned on his father, but the family felt that he should have sat in the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's seat, but the messenger himself chose Farrakhan. You know what I mean? So to prevent these things from ever happening, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan created a contingency of brothers and sisters who will lead the nation after he makes his departure, you know. And
yes.
all, these these are the 10,000 fearless brothers and sisters that we hear the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan mentioning, because it's in the Bible, it said that Jesus was come would come back at the head of 10,000. Okay?
That's right. That's
right. These are those brothers and sisters.
Okay. Yes, indeed. I appreciate that answer. Yes, indeed. Did you? We want to go to the call lines, or did y'all have a response to that, or what y'all want to do?
Let me go to the call lines. I don't have a response.
Mufasa,
you good?
Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead. I
want to
hear my brother. Let's go.
All right. Yes, indeed.
Okay.
Let's go.
Area code 314-381. Call you on with Collective Minds Radio. You have a question or a comment.
Boy, Kevin, you got a good one going on tonight.
Yes, sir. Peace, caller. What's going on?
Yeah,
you got a question,
buddy.
Or comment for our guest?
Well, where these separated states are going to be at is one thing I want to know. And, you know, you talk about changing people's minds. Heck, Brother Ibrahim School over there on Laclede and Natural Bridge, the members of Mars 28, Minister Donald, Mars over there on West Florida, they don't send their kids to them over there to Brother Ibrahim. They send them to Cardinal Ritter's and CBC and these other places. So how is this education going to occur? You know, 14.5 million blacks are members of the Southern Baptists. Another 7.5 are members of the Church of God in Christ with Charles Blake. And you got another 3.5 million Catholics. So they're not going to be adherent to no Islam. So regarding that, where are these states are going to be at, this separation? And would you be open if people brought busloads or riffraff they wanted to get out of their community? Would you be open to take them?
All right, let's let the brother respond. Did you get that, Malcolm Flex?
Yes, sir. I'm trying to understand the last portion. He said, if somebody trying to give away buffalo,
once you get this nation all established and everything. And we and other African Americans in their communities want to clean out their communities, all this black riffraff. Would you be open to take them?
Oh yeah, absolutely. That's definitely in our program.
Oh good.
Yes, we are asking the government to have all our brothers and sisters, if we ever receive our own 8 to 10 states and territories, because you asked a good question. Where will they be? I don't necessarily know for sure, but the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the minister asked for land that is fertile, that is arable land. We don't want the bad land. We want the land that is arable, that is fertile. So that's the answer that I have for that. As far as the brothers and sisters who are the riffraff, we ask the government, once we have our own states and territory, to release all our brothers and sisters out of the prisons and give them back to us, and we'll deal with our own people. You know, so that is our solution for that as well. You know,
and you gonna be responsible. You gonna be responsible for the liability if they run away from you and come back into our neighborhood to call havoc.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah,
okay, that's good, brother. That's good.
We're going to have to be responsible for our own people. We're going to have to be responsible for our own people. You know what I mean? Because we are building a nation, okay? And what happens when, you know, you have people leaving the country and doing things unbecoming or that doesn't reflect that country? You have to deal with them, you know?
All right, well, I'm going to keep up on the news and the newspapers and see how you progress to that. I'm going to check back in with Kevin. I think he probably know, and he can lay it on me. And I'm just wishing you good luck. Kevin,
yes,
you going?
Sir.
Yes, indeed.
All right.
Yes, indeed.
Happy Father's Day to everybody now.
Yes, indeed.
Brother,
happy
Brother,
Father's
Brother,
Day, Kyle.
Brother
appreciate
P.
it.
Brother P, you know I'm going.
I'm sure you're going wherever Kevin goes.
No, you said Kevin going. I don't know if he's going or not. I'm telling right. you, well, hey, I'm going wherever the minister want me to go. I'm going.
Oh, all right, that's good, man. Like I say, I'm going to be looking out for y'all.
Yes, sir.
All right. Yes, indeed. Thank you, caller. We appreciate you.
All right.
Yes, indeed. All right. Collective
Happy
Minds
Father's
Radio.
Happy Father's Day to you as well.
Yes, indeed. Happy Father's Day to the caller. Collective Minds Radio, y'all. This is Brother Kev, Cosmic Kev, with Rigel Starr and our brother Mufasa, right with Queen Rigel and Brother Mufasa. And we have a special guest with us, Malcolm Flex from Malcolm Flex TV. And we are discussing, does the Nation of Islam have the best plan for black people today? And like I say, this is a good discussion because we are here in 2019. We are on the eve of 2020. They say this is the so-called 400th anniversary as well, as far as the 400-year curse from the slave ship to now, you know, the first slave ship reaching the shores, quote unquote, but we know it may have been, you know, some years earlier, but this is supposed to be the 400th year, and we're going into an election year starting next year. And there's been a lot of talk with the, you know, the ADOS movement, which is American Descendants of Slaves. So I wanted to know, like, as it pertains to voting and participating in the system, because me, just this is just me personally, you know, I believe that black folks should definitely disengage from this political system. You know, I believe, you know, you can vote locally if you choose, because that has a greater effect on your life. But as far as voting nationally, I'm not sure that black people have been, you know, getting their just due, and black people have also been blindly voting Democrat. So from a nation perspective, how does the nation approach voting as we move into this 2020 presidential cycle coming up next year? How does the nation look at voting as it pertains to black people? Should we participate? Should we not? What should we do? What's the guidance on that? Brother
yes,
Malcolm
sir.
Fleck. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. We basically should pull out if it doesn't benefit black people. We don't necessarily get into the politics and voting, but the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has and also asked his followers to vote for Brother Jesse Jackson, vote for Brother Barack Obama, because he felt that it could benefit black people getting those brothers into office. Even when
right.
Barack Obama, even after he met with the minister, Barack Obama still denounced the minister in his Democratic primaries when he was going up against Hillary Clinton, and the minister didn't even mention it until Brother Barack Obama was long out of office, because he didn't want to do anything to diminish that brother's image, because Barack Obama is a beautiful brother. But what
right.
we have to understand as a people that American politics is basically an illusion of inclusion.
Right.
See, they want to act like they're going to include us into something that we should have been given just off of GP. We have fought and died in all of their wars. We have been through the transatlantic slave trade, suffering under them for 400 years, 300 of chattel slavery, and 100 years of systematic oppression. You know,
right.
So we should have been. We are the only people that have been through that, what we have been through, and never received a reparatory justice, never received a reparations for
right.
Our suffering here in the hills and wilderness of North America. Now, when you go and study the Babylonian Talmud by the Jews, they believe
right.
that they can rob, steal, and kill from a non-Jew, and they don't have to pay the consequences. So basically what they're saying is that they can rob us, they can steal us from a whole other country, rob us of all our resources, and they don't have to give us a reparations. And it makes sense when
right.
you go and look at the U.S. Constitution when it labeled us as a three-fifth of a human being, because in the Babylonian Talmud, they said that all non-Jews are animals and beasts. But in the U.S. Constitution, they called us three-fifths of a human being. Therefore, we ain't got to give y'all no reparations, because as a matter of fact, y'all not even human in the first place. You know? So
right,
this is the
right.
treatment that black people have been getting. Even when we had went to, I believe it was Darfur, and
right.
brothers and sisters in the reparations movement wanted to take crimes against humanity to the UN and to ask for reparatory justice for black people, okay? And America, Israel, and Great Britain all walked out the conference, okay? So that's basically a slap in the face to black people, basically saying, look, man, if y'all want it, y'all going to have to take it, okay? So, so we believe that it's too much hypocrisy in politics, and these people speak
go.
With forked tongues because they say one thing and they mean another, and they never
right.
keep their word, they never keep their promise. You know what I'm saying? Even the black presidents, they go up in there and they say
mm-hmm.
one thing on behalf of black people, but they never come through for black people. You know, as a matter of fact, they go harder on black people than they do Jewish people. Okay, why? Because Jewish people are paying for their campaigns, or the ones that's funding them. Okay, so they got to be careful what they say about people. They said Barack Obama was the first Jewish president. Okay, but then
oh,
we
wow.
thought he was the first black president.
Right, right.
But they are saying Bill Clinton is the first black president. Why? Because he was doing some stuff in the White House that he shouldn't have been doing.
Exactly. Crazy.
You know what I mean? So
yeah.
So that is our stance on politics. We don't necessarily say black people don't go vote. I mean, that's like us saying black people don't be Christians. Like, no, our brothers and sisters, they gonna do what they do. We gotta understand, we gotta
that's
respect
right.
our brothers and sisters' decision. You know, we can't go to the Thanksgiving dinner and or just so we can be around our people and we condemn everything they doing. No, we are not
that's
that
right.
self righteous. No, our brothers and sisters is going to do what they do. But while we are asking our brothers and sisters to actually think about what they're doing and see what are the benefits for black people, what are we getting out of it? Because you can come to L.A. and then you can drive to Chinatown. You can drive to Koreatown. You can drive to Little
right.
Cambodia. You can drive
that's right.
to Little This and Little That. But where's Little Africa? Where's Little Nation
that's
Town?
Right.
You know, we got the ghetto. You know what I mean? But these people are alive people. These people are really growing in their they're growing their community. You can't go to Little Chinatown and set up a black business there. You
so
can't go to Little Koreatown and set up black businesses. And just as
that's
the scripture
right.
teaches us, the scripture teaches us. Jesus says in the Bible, like the lightning shineth from the east and even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And wheresoever the carcass is, the eagles are gathered together. Basically, Jesus is giving us the prophecy that there's going to be a people in the west that will be symbolically dead. They will be symbolically a dead people, and they're going to be scavengers all around them, feeding off of them, feeding off the lifeblood, feeding off of the black economy, okay? Because everybody has businesses in the black community sucking the money out of our community, and this is why we are some of the richest, poorest people on earth, because we have a 1.1 trillion power. You know what
power,
I mean?
Power, that's
so,
right. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Let's make it plain.
Yeah, make it plain. We want to. We do want to try to get one more call in before we wrap up. But we have Brother Malcolm Flex in the building with us, and like I say, the young brother is dynamic, and he's doing some powerful building. Roger, Queen Roger,
okay.
Want to hit the call line?
Three. Yeah. Area code 319-601. Call you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
My basic thing is, when it all boils down to it, I have nothing against the Muslims at all, you know. But when it all boils down to it, man, it's more consistent with what the Bible says. I mean, we Israelites, man. Every curse in Deuteronomy matches what the slaves went through.
Right.
Same difference. I don't know where the Quran comes in on this, and I don't know where Islam came into the fold. But I'm telling what I've been researching is that black people need to wake up to the fact that we are not African. Muslim, claim it all you want, but the Bible clearly states that the black Hebrews is the people of the Bible. Now, the Quran is the Quran, but it's two totally different. Jesus was a prophet. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know,
the brother
that's
just
not
touched on that.
You might have missed it.
I don't know if you missed it, but he touched on that as far as the Hebrews and us being the Hebrews.
Yeah,
he was saying
and as far as voting, no, we shouldn't vote. Why? Voting was not designed for the black man at all. Nothing in politics was. Shout out to Obama. You know what I'm saying? But it's not made for us, man. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And that's what it is. You know, as far as, like I said, I got respects for the Muslims and all. But how could Elijah Muhammad be a messenger when he had controversy surrounding him? So you talked about he was a man from the holy divine,
I can't sit in a chair and give
Elijah Muhammad props like he's something perfect, you know.
We wind it down, Carla. We appreciate it, but we want to give the guest a chance to respond to that. If he could respond in 1 or 2 minutes before we wrap up, we want to give a brother a chance to respond.
Okay.
But thank you, Carla. We appreciate it.
Truth don't change, man.
We appreciate you.
I sure wanted to find out who can he give that to then. Well, give me the name of the person that he give it to. But I wanted to hear that from him. But go ahead, Brother Mouth.
Yes, sir. Now, here is the major fundamental error with our Hebrew brothers and sisters, you know, because we love them, but they with the spiritual gangbanging, and we can't get the hoods to unite until we unite, you know.
Yeah.
But it's all scholastic. So let me give a basic understanding to the Hebrews and how Islam came into the play, because they don't believe that Prophet Muhammad and Islam and all these things came from God, but they need to understand that all this is just one community. And let me show you where the Hebrews messed up at.
Yeah,
okay.
Keep it in mind.
Hebrews,
we got like 3 minutes, brother. We got about 3 minutes.
Okay, yes, sir. I'll try to make it quick. The original Hebrews, they broke all the curses of God. I mean, not the curses, the laws and commandments. So God cursed them and told him he was going to send them through captivity. So the God said, you know what, I'm not going to make them suffer forever because they are still my people. But this is what I'm going to do. I'm not going to make a covenant with them based on their fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm going to make them a new covenant. Okay? But what God did was he said that he was going to break the covenant with them because they had broke the laws and commandments. And he said he's going to give it to another people. And he hid his face from Israel, okay, for thousands of years. He hid his face and he gave his favor unto another people. And this is where Prophet Muhammad comes into play. In Isaiah 42, if you ever get the opportunity, go and read Isaiah 42 and then go and read Romans 11, where God said that he grafted Israel out and then gave his favor onto another people, and then he grafted Israel back in. So this is where we come to play. But it said in the Bible that he's going to bring us down a new path and a new road. And in the book of John chapter 1, it teaches that when John the Baptist was being questioned by the Jews, they was asking him, are you the Christ? Are you that prophet? And are you Elijah?
Right.
So, yes, sir. So they basically knew that there was a man named Elijah was going to come in the last days, and they knew that a prophet would come in the last days. So I would just go and ask the brothers and sisters just to go and check that out.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Powerful, powerful, brother. And definitely thank you. We're coming down to the last 5 minutes. Before we let you go, brother, just let people know where they can find you at, my brother.
All praises due to Allah, brother. Thank you, brothers, sisters, for having me on your show. You can find me at Malcolm Flex TV on YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, and at Brother Alfonso X Moore on Facebook. All praises due to Allah. Thank you for having me.
Yes, indeed. All praises due. Once again, thank you for sharing some of your evening with us, Malcolm Flex. We appreciate it. It's been a pleasure having you on, you know, engaging with our guests and with our supporters. So, definitely, brother, we appreciate you, and it seems like you're on the right track, so we just want to miss you. I wish you, you know, love and light and peace and blessings to you, brother. You want to, you got some last words, brother Mufasa, and Roger, I'll let y'all wrap it up.
Yes, sir. I'm thanking the brother as well. You know what I'm saying? Pleasure, bro. Hope you can come on again and we continue to build. And you know I'll be following you on your platform. So, oh, and keep going that Young Cheddar Bob with them facts, brother. I love you for that. So keep on doing what you're doing, brother. I appreciate your work, and hopefully you can come on again and we can talk some more.
Okay, very good. And I also just follow up by saying thanks again for coming on and joining us this evening. And thank everybody. Thank all the listeners, all our supporters and followers. Continue to support us and continue to follow us. We have some more good shows and topics coming up. Once again, if you also have any show topic ideas that you want to share with us for something for us to discuss on this platform, please feel free to email us anytime at collectiveminds@yahoo.com. Also, follow us on all the social media outlets, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. You can always follow us to keep update information of the upcoming shows and upcoming guests. So we do have a special guest coming up next week as well. So be on the lookout for that and many more Sundays. So, we, again, appreciate everybody. Once again, happy Father's Day to all the great fathers out there and all the great men. And we look forward to another bill. See you guys next week. Peace.
Peace.
Collective Minds Radio.
Stand on your square. We on the earn. We about to earn it out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about, whether it's old or a new point. Call in with your viewpoint and add to our collective a colorful perspective. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things, dig deep and going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who be been the keeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talking.
Like we walk in, collective mind.
Yeah, they gon' feel this. Let that play out.